Well, here we are again. Good evening, viewers.
Nick, I told you last time, they are not viewers.
They'll always be viewers to me, Chris.
Well, how can they be? They're listeners.
Well, I think they're sitting there waiting for when we go visual.
Oh.
And we are going to go visual.
We're going to go visual?
We're going to go visual.
Wow.
I know it's going to be a struggle for you because you're a bit of a tech phobe.
Oh, but that's putting it mildly.
Is it mildly putting it?
It is very mildly putting it.
Right.
You put it any way you like, it's still the same.
But no, we are going to go visual.
Wow.
That's the plan.
Do you really want to impose that on the general public?
Well, I thought we'd do a bit of a Python thing, you know, sitting behind a desk nude. With just a tie on.
It's not a pretty sight, Nick.
No?
No, not in my case.
Get some laughs, though.
Oh, you get laughs, all right. Yeah.
Anything that gets laughs, we do.
Do we?
Yeah.
We have no boundaries.
None whatsoever.
Wow. So it's going to be X-rated podcast or whatever.
It may be a certificate 18.
Wow.
Yeah, may need that.
Well, I had to have, well, can we have sort of funny German music in the background?
You could have that.
We could grow moustaches like yeah. they do in the film stars, yeah. you know.
You could do that.
That'd be good,
if you wanted.
Yeah.
Bring a bit of the kind of Wanderwurzel into
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, a bit of BMW.
Yeah. Also Sprach Technik.
Mm. As they say in Audi.
They do indeed.
Anyway, how you been?
Not too bad, Nick. Not since the last time. No, back's improving, glad to say.
Yeah.
So, how about you?
I'm improving.
Good.
Yeah, physically, healthily, I'm improving.
Marvellous.
It's taking some time, I've got to say. Probably I underestimated how bad it was and that it was a major operation. We're talking about the hernia here, for anybody that actually didn't catch the show previous to this one.
Yeah, for anybody who's having their supper right now.
Indeed, Ski. Yeah. Well, we could go into ultimate detail on how they slit you open to the tune of a 7-inch gash.
We could compare scars, couldn't we?
We could do that.
Because I've had a kidney taken out.
Yeah.
And I've got one on my right-hand side.
That's heavy duty, though, isn't it, compared to a hernia?
Well, I don't know. No, how long is yours?
All the girls ask me that.
Well.
But we kind of get down and talk about it, you know, intimately, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I suppose we just have to measure them, won't we, to find out who's got the longest cut.
I don't know. I'd get involved in that, Chris. I think. I know mine's pretty much 7 inches because they.
Really?
Yeah, they did tell me that.
Who did?
Yeah. People at the hospital.
Did they, by Jove? Yeah, they never told
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Well, they did say that it was going to be keyhole.
Keyhole, so.
But fuck me, man! If that's a keyhole. Well, I don't know. Yeah, Christ almighty. The fucking Bastille, isn't it? You know?
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Marvellous.
I look like the side of the Titanic after it hit the iceberg.
Right, right. Other supermarkets are, of course, available.
Indeed. Not that you use them.
No.
Not at all.
I'm a Waitrose man.
Are you really?
No.
Upmarket.
Can't afford it.
Talking about can't afford it.
Yeah.
We were having a conversation off mic earlier on with off our
who?
Guest.
Off who?
We've got off mic.
Who's he?
He came along with me.
Yeah.
I just went by this bus stop and he was there, you know, thumbing it, trying to grab a lift.
Oh, Mike. That
That's
Mike.
It. Yeah, so
yeah,
I picked him up.
Yeah, with it.
Yeah, Mr. Mike O'Phone.
Oh, yes, I know.
You know?
That his name is familiar.
No, that's it, yeah. Yeah, he's spoken to you a couple of 3 times.
What's his opinion on me?
1-2-1-2.
Oh, that's all right then.
Testing,
yeah.
testing.
Well, that's what he says all the time.
I know
I've
it is.
I've never understood it.
Well, that's a nonsense, isn't it?
A bit repetitive, really.
When people walk, you know, usually at weddings they do that.
Yeah, I do. And
tap on the mic.
Yes,
yeah, tap
one,
on the
two,
fucking
one,
mic. Yeah, 1-2-1-2. It's just to grab attention, I think, really. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, because they want a bigger bit of cake come the buffet. That's what I think it is.
I've got you.
But we've got a special guest
yeah.
in the studio, haven't we? For this show.
Introduce.
I will. This is Catriona McKenzie, who's an English teacher and happens to be my partner.
Well, there you go. Why are you putting a funny face at that?
I don't know. No
Messi's
idea.
She's got a hand over her mouth.
I know. That's what women do,
Have
isn't
you
it?
Said something wrong?
No, I don't know. I don't know whether I've said something wrong. Don't know. Probably that was the case before we came in the studio. Well, leaving the studio won't be the case.
Well, I'm sort of sat in the middle here and I'm all discombobulated at that
really?
Response. Yeah.
T-shirt too tight, is that what it is?
Yeah, it could well be. But anyway, pray continue.
We were talking off mic, weren't we, about cloud seeding.
Well, yes.
She has a theory on.
She has a theory, Mike?
Of which I think we could probably get stuck into this subject.
Yeah.
Don't you? Cloud seeding, for those who don't know.
Including me.
No, you actually, this is something you didn't know, isn't it? Definitely. Which you, things you don't know are rare.
Are they?
Hmm.
I'm the font of all knowledge.
Indeed, Scott.
Not.
But anyway, cloud seeding, for those who don't know, is basically governments pissing about with the weather for their own gains. Let's say, for argument's sake, to increase crop flow, with more needs more rain, needs more sun, blah, blah, blah. And to increase cold winters to be exceptionally cold, hot summers to be exceptionally hot. Is this just a theory or is it a fact? And does it have any mileage?
Well, I'd say straight away, is it a conspiracy theory? You know, like, did man land on the moon? I've never heard of it.
It's been around for a while, I think.
No, it's not a conspiracy theory. They do it in the Middle East. They do it in Dubai because obviously there's not enough rain. But the British government have invested in cloud seeding. That's a fact. You can read about it. But, you know, I was thinking maybe they're doing cloud seeding, so everyone's really cold. They put the heating on, high energy costs, all the tax you have to pay.
Well, so I think if your energy supplier is like mine, E.ON, you could easily believe that to be the case.
Really?
Yeah.
But in Dubai, they announce it. The Emir announces it, that they're cloud seeding.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they announce it.
They make it public?
They don't announce it. You don't even know if they're cloud seeding, but they're definitely investing in the technology to do cloud seeding.
Well, I think for me, that definitely holds some water. I think, though,
very funny.
Also something, yeah. keep up.
That's very funny.
Yeah, but actually, it's this is not the same kind of theory, but I remember when I was a small boy, my dad used to kind of predict the quality of the summers. And that was done on the moon missions, Saturn V rockets. And Dad's theory was that, you know, when they actually set off on the moon missions with the Saturn V's, they pierced the atmosphere, moved everything around, and virtually every time Dad said, you know, the Americans have just launched the Saturn, you will have a good summer, and we had a good summer holiday. He said it'll be really nice, and he was near on always right.
Wow.
So there is, for me, an argument to say that since our mate Don kicked off throwing things around at the tail heads over there in the Middle East, you know, has that influenced our summer due to the fact that you're sweating your knackers off?
Don't know.
What do you think?
Well, to be quite honest, I've never heard of the concept before.
Right.
So I think from what you're saying, it does have a modicum of truth about it, probably more so. Because of, you know, you're saying it's well known thing.
Yeah.
I wonder why I didn't know about it. But then there's lots of things I don't know about.
Not many, though.
There were quite a few. But, yeah, it's an interesting theory, that. Because certainly the weather is changing. Now, I've put that down to climate change, which I've put down to the ozone layer breaking or becoming thinner or whatever it does.
Right.
Because of the man-made gases. Produced by man, in a natural way.
Okay, so
hence my membership of the Green Party, folks.
Okie dokie. So is that the same principle as beans on toast?
Yeah, same sort of thing.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Cows are worst, apparently. Yeah. Cows are worst.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now I don't think it holds any water for me at all.
Again, you've done that joke. That too many. It's not that good.
I thought it warranted a secondary.
Yeah, I think so.
But yeah, I mean, well, I think, you know, for me, I think that the war in the Middle East actually is making, I mean, you imagine chucking all these drones around everything else and how they get from point A to point B.
Mm.
You know, you're pumping thousands and thousands of gallons of fuel into the atmosphere. You know, they're, these things, a lot of the big stuff is going very high, you know, into pretty much the edge of the atmosphere of the Earth. You know, so I don't know. I think it, like I say, my dad believed it big time and he was always right. You always had a stinker of a summer. It was really, really nice. You know, so I think there's possibly something in that.
Mm.
But leading into that, we have quite a story which comes from Kat because she was recently in Kuwait. She's an English teacher by profession. And she's travelled a lot across the world, and her last port of call was Kuwait. We was over there teaching. You know, English, weren't you?
Yeah, I was.
And it was a strange situation because I actually took her back to Heathrow the day before it all kicked off. Dropped her off Heathrow. She caught the plane, went back to Kuwait Airport. And about 12 hours later, Don kicked it all off. And it's quite a tale, isn't it? Tell us all about that, Kat, how it all came about.
Well, you dropped me off at the airport. I got to Kuwait about midnight. And then in the morning, I got up about 7 o'clock. And the sirens were going off in Kuwait, and they are deafening, and they're all-consuming. They're everywhere. You can't escape them. The sound is just so haunting. It's horrible, because all the sirens go off. Wherever you go, you just hear sirens. So I went out onto the street, and I went, what the hell is going on? And then I looked up at the sky, and I saw these drones. I mean, you say they were on the edge of the stratosphere. They were just above my building.
No. I'm on about the big boys.
Oh, the big boys. Yeah, the cruise missiles,
the multi amount of drones. They were flying quite a low altitude.
Everyone came out and we're all looking up thinking, what is this? And then I thought, oh my God, it's war. So I went back into my flat and I was like frantically texting everyone on the WhatsApp group, what's going on, guys? And they said, war's broken out. Thanks. So, the school was closed, obviously, because actually a little girl got killed in Kuwait because we were all told to stay away from the windows and stay in our buildings. And some shrapnel went into her building and it hit her and she died. And she was at one of the schools I worked at before, Kuwait English School. And then it just got really bad because there was this supersonic boom one night where the whole building shook and, you know, you had to go to what they called air raid shelters. Yeah. But literally every night it would kick off. Well, it'd kick off around about midnight to about 4 o'clock in the morning. For a week to 10 days, I didn't sleep because I was so terrified. And then I started to think, what if they start abducting people? Because they found a number of terrorist cells in Kuwait who had pictures of the Ayatollah, who had missiles and bombs, and pictures of, you know, Westerners, pictures of high-ranking Kuwaiti people. So there was this American vlogger who went on holiday to Kuwait and she started this WhatsApp group for people that wanted to get out because they bombed the airport about 8 times. So I hooked up with a Kuwaiti woman. We met in a hairdresser's down in Mangaf. And I was terrified. I thought, is she legitimate? Is she real? Could she be a kidnapper? I mean, I was going a bit delirious because I hadn't slept. So I met her and she arranged a Bedouin Arab guy who drove us through the desert. And there was two other American, Afro-American teachers. We'd never met each other before. I think we had to pay, I can't remember how much we had to pay, but it was quite a lot. So the Bedouin guy, he drove us through the Saudi desert. But after we got through the Saudi border, which was really tense and stressful, you know, we're on high alert, he drove into a Bedouin area in Saudi and we thought, oh my God, we're going to get kidnapped because he was a Bedouin. But it turned out he was all right. He was a really nice guy. And we drove for 8 hours through the desert, got to Riyadh Airport. It was during Ramadan and we just basically collapsed in a heap. And I flew to Cairo because I just hadn't slept for about 10 days and stayed at the airport. And it was the first time I'd slept in 10 days. And I hadn't washed for about a week. I just lost it completely. It's one of the most terrifying experiences I've ever had. And actually, when I got to Cairo Airport, every time I heard a sound, I would jump out of my skin. It's like I developed mild shell shock. But I really felt sorry for a lot of the teachers because they were kind of bullied into staying in Kuwait. And I'm sure a lot of them, because I had mild shell shock, will have post-traumatic stress disorder.
So yeah. just let's backtrack just a couple of questions that I've got. Yeah. So when you actually landed in Kuwait Airport, yeah. was it business as usual?
Business as usual. Everything was calm. People were milling about. People were in Starbucks. Got a taxi, went home. And it was about 7 o'clock in the morning, the next morning.
So there was no warning and nothing at all?
No warning.
Right, so yeah. the sirens for essentially an air raid
yeah.
kicked off.
Yeah.
How did you actually find out what was going on?
WhatsApp.
Literally WhatsApp. WhatsApp,
yeah. And there was also 4 different types of siren. I can't remember what each one represented. Maybe one was danger is approaching. Maybe one was get to the air raid shelter. Maybe one was, I can't remember what the other two were. And I couldn't really differentiate between the 4 of them. But it was really awful.
So at what point, you know, kind of did everybody, were you briefed by the school or whatever? You know, was everybody pulled together and you was told exactly what was going on? Or what was actually the routine?
The school were in denial. They wanted to keep the school open, but the government said you can't because it's not safe. They kind of manipulated all of the teachers. They said, come down to basement 2. We're doing henna painting on your hands. We've got a yoga teacher in. So they wanted to get the teachers in as much as possible.
So they put on activities, did they?
For the teachers.
What's happened to the children at this point?
The children were being taught online. And I continued to teach the kids online. Then I came back to the UK, taught the kids online. And one time I was teaching the kids and the kids went, Miss, did you hear that? There's a bomb going off. And at the time, I couldn't tell them I was in the UK. And I went, yeah, it's terrible, isn't it? But don't worry. And then there was another thing where I'd meet the kids in the morning because I was their form teacher. And they were all really depressed. Well, you would be, wouldn't you? Hmm. Miss, I can't cope. Miss, a kid died. Miss, did you hear the bombs last night? Miss, I can't stand it. Miss, we're all going to die. I mean, they lost it.
And is this is when you were in the UK. Tell me a bit more about the Kuwait experience. I mean, how long were you actually there?
I think I was there for about 10 days, but I was terrified. And I was even terrified of meeting the Kuwaiti woman in the hairdresser. I was terrified of meeting the other women. I was terrified of the Badoon Arab guy. Because you just don't know. Are they kidnappers? Is it legit?
So these were people that you literally picked up.
On WhatsApp.
On WhatsApp.
Yeah.
And that was like an escape committee?
It was a WhatsApp group designed for people that wanted to get out of Kuwait.
Right.
And there was a lot of scam artists going on. They'd say, pay as a deposit of, let's say, £300. And then you'd wait for the car and the car didn't turn up.
So this wasn't an official channel?
It wasn't an official channel.
Okay.
The British consulate were very late in giving advice. They just said, follow the advice of the Kuwait government. Shelter in a place of safety, try not to go out.
So you had no official contact from, we'll call it, the British government?
At one point, they started to say, maybe they were better than what I'm giving them credit for, but for the first few days, they didn't really say anything, just follow the advice of the Kuwait government. And then they said, our advice is, if you can find a safe route out of Kuwait, go.
So who was giving you the steer on that? The government or the Kuwaiti government or the school?
The British consulate. The school's advice was, they wanted you to stay, basically, because it's a business. It's a very profitable business. And she didn't want to lose her business, so she wanted us to stay. When I got to Cairo, the head teacher contacted me and basically said, what the hell are you doing? Why are you in the Daily Mirror? And I'm like, what do you mean I'm in the Daily Mirror? I'm not in the Daily Mirror. And he said, I'm going to send you a screenshot now. Because I'd spoken to the Lynn News and she'd obviously sold the story to the Daily Mirror. And I got a really angry email from the principal saying, why are you in the Daily Mirror? Why are you in the Daily Mail? And she just didn't believe that I hadn't spoken to them.
So you spoke to the British press?
I spoke to the Lynn News to tell her about what was going on in Kuwait.
Okay.
And she obviously sold the story on to somebody else. And I got told off a lot for that. Really badly told off.
By speaking to the press?
Well, I spoke to the Lynn News. I didn't speak to the Daily Mail or the Daily Mirror.
But the Lynn News obviously put it on the wire and the Nationalists picked it up.
Yeah, it must be.
Purely because it was topical at the time. Yeah. So, this trip across the desert, how long did that actually take?
It took 8 hours. And when we realised that Ali was a really nice guy, he stopped.
Ali's the driver?
Ali's the driver, okay. The Kuwaiti guy. He stopped in the desert and he went, oh, those flowers, my mother loves them. So he parked the Jeep up, ran into the desert and picked up all these flowers that smelt like piss. And he came in and he went, smell them. And I could already smell them. He went, my mother loves these. They make great tea. It's really good for you. That's what he said.
All right. So this guy was commissioned by the woman that actually put the WhatsApp group together.
That's right.
To literally cart you people out across the desert for a fee.
That's right.
Okay. So you went to Cairo.
Yeah.
Which is obviously in Egypt.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I stayed there for 2 nights and then I just got all these emails from the head teacher, the principal, telling me off for talking to the press. And she said, I find it very difficult to believe you didn't speak to the Daily Mirror. I'm like, but I didn't speak to them. She didn't believe me. So the school were really pissed off with me. And then I got back to London and then I got back to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Okie cokey.
Sounds like a love story, doesn't it? Where do I begin? That's like a thing. Now, can I ask a question?
Indeed, you can, Chris. Yeah. I was just about to bring you in.
All right, yeah, that's all right. Now, as an ex-teacher, I'm fascinated. You use some words that sort of strike a chord in me, like the manipulation of teachers.
Mm.
I don't find it difficult to understand, but is it typical of the system out there? Are teachers treated differently? Are they held in high esteem, low esteem? What's the situation?
Teachers are, if you go to a good school in the Middle East, like I was actually working at a very good school in the Middle East, you're treated with a great deal of respect and your opinion counts. But the Egyptian parents, I mean, that's just a fact. They're incredibly demanding and pushy. They like to push their weight around. They like to push the teachers around. Their child is God. And when you're trying to discipline the child or talk to the parents, they never believe you. They think you're making it up. So the tactic is when you've got to have a difficult conversation with a parent, you go in very nice. Oh, your child, they're so talented at this. You kind of have to butter them up and tell them all the good things about their child, how helpful they are, how kind they are. Oh, however, by the way, there is a little issue with Abdulaziz. And then you just gently go into it and then you finish it with a compliment. And then you just say to them, can you please help me to address this issue? But the parents do push you about. I mean, they are stakeholders and, you know, these schools are private and you are working for the parents, basically. Wow. Yeah.
Because years ago, probably before you entered the teaching profession, there used to be a thing when you wrote school reports, fill it with can-do statements.
Oh, yeah. You remember? Yeah.
So, little Johnny, he's excellent at this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
You don't mention that he's absolute in the backside, you know, because you've got to coin it positively.
Absolutely.
That bothered me, because you're writing your reports, or supposed to be. You're not.
Mm.
You're writing a falsification.
Yeah, it's a lie, isn't it?
It's a downright lie. And that's one of the reasons why I became totally disillusioned with teaching. Mm. You know. And then you're talking about the parents out there being very, very behind their children.
Mm.
Well, my experience over here in England, particularly when I worked in a school in the Isle of Sheppey, was that the parents couldn't give a toss what their kids did. They wanted them in school, out of their hair, so they could get on what they're doing, you know. And so, say 7:30 in the morning, an hour before school would start, the kids are out in the playground. I thought, this is crazy. You know, why aren't they at home having a good breakfast or something?
Well, I've experienced that at the moment because I've come back to the UK temporarily whilst I get ready to go out to the Middle East, sorry, the Far East. And the school I'm working at the moment, which will be nameless, obviously, for safeguarding.
Yes, yeah.
But a lot of the children there's 25 of them in the class, they have a lot of complex needs. It's a standard state school, a lot of mental health issues, and it's quite clear, broken families, no parenting, poor diet, and they're not well, those kids, and it's insane.
When you say they're not well, you mean attitude-wise, or...?
Well, we did an exercise with them on Friday, and they had to say one kind thing about themselves and one kind thing about someone else, and most of them put, I hate myself, I'm ugly. They've got very low self-esteem.
Low self-esteem, yeah.
Because they've not been nurtured at home, and they've not really been nurtured at school because they've had about 20 different supply teachers since September. So I really do feel sorry for them. And at this late stage, it's very difficult to win them over.
Mm.
I'm trying to promote their self-confidence, but I'm failing.
Well, you're not failing. You're doing your absolute best.
Yeah.
But, you know, seeing it from the kids' point of view, you know, if they have day after day after day of ever turning over supply teachers... doesn't do a lot for their confidence.
No, it doesn't. Definitely not.
No.
So,
yeah, go on.
Are we in agreement that the system is somewhat broken?
Well, where? In England or abroad?
No, here.
I wouldn't say broken. I'd say could do better.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. That's teacher talk, could do better.
Talking about reports, I used to get that shit on mine
could
a lot.
Could do better.
Yeah.
But that's a language in itself, the old school reports that used to get.
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, could do better. And the best one that I ever got from a teacher in my junior school was generally quite satisfactory. I thought, what on earth is that saying?
You know, generally, I have no idea.
No, generally quite satisfactory. C minus or whatever, you know.
No, I didn't know that there was a language that had to build into the reports.
Well,
it's sort of
a code of writing, isn't it?
You know. Well, there's key phrases they expect you to use. Yeah. It's fake. It's not very nice, really.
So all I can say is I'm glad I got out of it when I did.
Yeah, well, I'll be taking my teacher's pension at 55 next year.
Yeah, good on you. Yeah.
It's not much, though, because I was only in the system for about 5.5 years. But it's something. I do get a bit of a payout, but
yes,
not much.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's not a bad idea, because that's the earliest you can come out of teaching with the pension.
And I'm going to do it.
Good for you.
So are you glad to be back in the UK?
I'm glad to be back in the UK for you.
I'll get the violins.
I get the
phone. There was a moon,
Oh, God, I'm in the middle of two lovers here.
I think we've gone beyond that stage. Help, I'm drowning.
Totally.
Well, it's just the high cost of living. I know everyone's talking about it, but it's just crazy. I mean, we went out for an Indian the other week, and it was nearly 100 quid, you know. Energy bills, through the roof. Everything's so expensive.
How much for a Frenchman is it?
For a what?
A Frenchman. Or a Japanese person.
Because we had an Indian.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, that's very funny. No, I get it. Yeah, that's good.
How do you explain my jokes?
Yeah, no, Chris. That's good. Oh, that works. Yeah.
They're so high level, though.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to be
intellectual.
Mensa member to be in it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mensa.
Indeed.
Yes. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, that's it. It's just so expensive. I find it depressing how much it costs to get around.
Well, if you will go to Waitrose all the time, you know. I go to Aldi, Lidl.
Oh, no, we go to Aldi. I'm always in Aldi.
Other stores are available.
£1.77 for salad.
The only person I know that you can quote, she can quote everything you buy for your fucking shopping list.
Really?
Which is, a little bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like if I said a loaf of bread, slice white.
£1.45.
Well, I don't pay that.
£49.
Is there anything in the bag when you open it?
Yes. It's standard white, bread, 49p.
Really?
It's from one of those discounted supermarket stores, 49p.
Goodness me.
Nick would never eat that. He wouldn't eat that.
Well, it must be. It's not top quality.
Yeah, he wouldn't eat that.
No, I'm a bit funny on my scran.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It has to be pucker stuff.
Do you cut it to yourself?
We our local baker who
cuts it for you.
They do. They slice it in the machine.
That is so middle class, Nick.
Keep that. Don't tell him. I'm not middle class. I'm no snob, Chris.
No, I'm not at all.
I'm a stone ground lad.
Yes,
I know. Born and bred, man.
Yeah, born and bred.
Indeed.
You're full of them, so,
oh. Oh, God.
It just flows, doesn't it?
That's like a living comic, you are.
Concerto.
Yeah, absolutely. Concerto of sliced bread in D major.
Played by him and him.
That's it. Other chocolate bars are available. Or chocolate sweets. Anyway, yes.
Well, what a fascinating story.
It really is. It's an eye-opener to me.
Well, I mean, it's quite... What would we call it? Fictional? I mean, it's
fictional. It's happened.
Well, it has. I'm struggling for me.
Fictional.
Oh, look, shut up, you academic, you.
Fictional means made up.
I know what it fucking means. I'm trying to say...
What?
I'm trying to say it's something that, you know, you only would read about or hear about, you know, or you'd watch a film or a dramatisation about... A story that is of the escape from Kuwait.
Hold, dig deeper, Nick.
Okay. Okay, well, I'm going to say goodnight then.
I'll say goodnight as well.
You say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Are you going to say goodnight, Kat?
Goodnight.
Say goodnight, Chris.
Oh, goodnight.
You've got to say it.
Do I say it?
Yes.
Right, goodnight, Chris.
Goodnight, Kat.
Goodnight, Chris.
Goodbye, Nick.
Goodnight, Kat.
Crack.
Goodbye.
Crack.
Cocaine. Oh, hey, what's going on?
This is weird, man.
That's no
weird shit, man.
Yeah.
30 minutes ended with a total load of bollocks.
Absolutely.
Until next time, viewers.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.